Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Okay, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour is back on the air. We're at the Southern Bancorp studio here in Oak Grove, Mississippi. Full crew's here today, Bob Kelly and Dima. We're glad you're with us. As always, we broadcast from the Southern Bancorp studio here in the Super Talk building. And glad to be with you today. Opening segment of our show today, sponsored by our wonderful friends at Movie Star Restaurant. 25 years they've been serving a delicious Southern cooking buffets, and nobody does it better. They're open Monday through Friday, 11 till 2. Friday night, great time to eat at Movie Star. You can also order off the menu, 5 till 8. And then Sunday, of course, the famous after church buffet, I guess is what I'd call it, 11 to 2. That's a good way to spend a Sunday. Go to church, go eat at Movie Star, hit the recliner, and take a long nap.
I was just going to say, once you go from Movie Star, you can write off the rest of the day because you get that Thanksgiving stuffed kind of feeling in there.
That's exactly right. All right, Dima, we were talking yesterday. We were aware of a young man that has committed to Southern Miss, but I guess the news is out today. He's a catcher, and this looks like a big find.
Yeah, Brock Clayton out there from Northwest Florida State. Really nice hitting tool. He's a left-hander, which is huge for them. They need some more left-handed bats. 2026 numbers, just for those who don't know, 353 average, 489 OBP, 619 slug. He had 49 hits, 11 doubles, 3 triples, 7 home runs, 8 stolen bases. He was committed to South Carolina, but then Kevin Schnall obviously got the job there. He decommitted there and came to Southern Miss. So this is a really nice find, and somebody who not only can play catcher, but also can play in the outfield. And you know, everything we're hearing right now is that Davis Gillespie is going to get drafted. So I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I don't think Davis Gillespie is going to be back, so that leaves you with an absolutely empty outfield, you know, losing Higdon, Urban, and Gillespie,
all three,
right? So obviously the right fielder seems to be locked in with the Toledo guy they got in Cade Baker. Center field, I personally think it's going to be one of the freshmen, Henry Apt. He's just kind of seems like the guy they're going to place in there and expect him to do something. And then maybe you could throw this guy out there in left field if Stockman's catching, and then, you know, flip-flop or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we'll see. We'll see what happens there. I still am looking for Southern Miss to get one more player out of the portal. I know who they're in on right now. I just can't say who it is, but they're definitely looking at maybe one more infielder. And I think if they were to get that guy who I'm thinking of right now, if they were to get him, you know, that's four sticks in a pitcher. I think they'd be done.
Well, have they addressed first base? Because clearly you're going to have to replace
Cannon Peary, the Grand Canyon transfer, you know, he's coming in. Okay. He's going to play first base.
Okay, so they're set there.
And that league that the catcher's coming from, that Florida league, because people will talk, and Pearl River won the junior college national championship. But what you need to remember is JUCO has divisions.
Yep.
You know, Division One for the biggest junior colleges, Division Two. Pearl River won the Division Two national championship. A lot of those Florida schools are in the Division One category. So they'll play each other like in preseason games, which Pearl River does play a lot of those schools, including Northwest Florida. But they don't ever compete at the World Series level because they're in different divisions.
So this is a high level of college baseball, right?
Division One, JUCO.
Kids that play at that level are talented, really good kids.
And that Florida league, you know, everybody wants to, and where he comes from, Northwest Florida, that campus is 10 minutes from Destin. Mm-hmm. So it's not real hard to get good players, really good players that want to go there.
And I mean, he was originally, you know, committed to Florida, University of Florida, decommitted there, went to the junior college level, then committed to South Carolina, and then now decommitted from there and came to Southern Miss. But one thing I like about him is I think he had 38 to 40 walks on the year, so really understands the strike zone, and that's something that you want to see, and especially with his ability to steal bases. He had 8 to 10 this past season. It's obvious the road that, no pun intended, that Ladd Rhodes is going with getting these guys out of the portal. Athleticism, speed, and hit tools. And so far, the three they've gotten all fit those categories. Not any of these guys are going to come in here, in my opinion, and be 15, 20 home run guys. Mm-hmm. These guys are going to come in, hit for average, and they're trying to, you know, mirror that 2025 offense where you had, you know, Jake Cook leading off, you had Ozzie Pratt in the nine hole, you had your mashers. Now they're going to need somebody to come in and give them some power. And you know, on the roster currently, you'd think that it'd be Stockman and Barrett as your two power hitters if they could continue what they did last season, especially if you lose Gillespie. You know, but obviously, best of both worlds is Gillespie's back on this roster, then you feel pretty decent.
All right, two questions for either one of you guys. How important is the role that Ladd Rhodes will now play with Travis Creel leaving?
It's something to see. You know, and like we mentioned in yesterday's show or the day before, they all run together. But, I mean, it's just, is Ladd Rhodes going to get promoted to offensive coordinator, hitting coach? It's yet to be seen. I personally think yes, just because that's what Southern Miss does and has always done in the past, where they hire within. But maybe they do bring someone else out on the outside.
And I'm not saying that won't happen. That Ladd would make a move. But the other school of thought is he's really good at what he does. So do you want to take a chance?
Well, he can still do what he does,
but not be as attentive as he is now necessarily.
He's doing a lot of the recruiting.
Yeah,
right?
Taking on a
new
role. But
he was, I mean, he was kind of co-hitting this year.
Yeah, he was deeply involved in the offense this year.
So if you and I are talking, then it really wouldn't be a promotion necessarily if he's doing exactly
more money.
Well, maybe, yeah. Maybe. Yeah. But if it's not broken,
no,
don't try to fix
it. Here's question number two for you guys in this segment. Here we are. It is June 17th, so we are over halfway through now the portal cycle. No one that played a significant role on the baseball team has entered the portal. Can we assume from that potential danger is over?
No, absolutely not. You know, three or four years ago, however long it was, you had a guy leave on the last day. So I don't think they're going to be comfortable over there till it's over. We know for a fact that Camden Clark was getting thrown a lot of money from an SEC school. We know for a fact that Graydon Harris was getting thrown a lot of money from an SEC school. Obviously, Graydon Harris announced his coming back. It seems like Clark is coming back, but obviously the word is still out. You know, this is not over. I think until July 1st, Oz will not be able to sleep well.
But do you feel like, either one of you, do you feel like if you had a significant player that had made his mind up to leave, why would he not be in the portal now?
Well, I mean, it kind of comes down to, I mean, you have schools who are still playing baseball too. Like, you got to think about that. Like, what if, you know, Oklahoma comes in or something like that?
Yeah, but am I right about this? Supposedly, SEC or other money schools are not allowed to talk to kids until they enter the portal.
Well, supposedly, Bob.
Yeah.
So what you're basically telling me is that's BS.
Oh, yeah, that's okay. Definitely.
And until all of the dominoes have fallen, there's always a chance that a domino could fall
correct
out of place.
Are you guys saying some of these money schools would actually be cheating the intent of the transfer portal? Is that what I'm hearing?
No.
I'm shocked to hear that.
No. Well. But again, let's just say university whatever thought they were going to be getting player X, and player X for whatever changes his mind. Okay, well, that university then goes on the prowl again and might have a Southern Miss guy on their list saying, okay, sure, well, we thought we were going to get that guy, so we couldn't even approach the Southern Miss guy.
Yeah.
But they're not in the portal, Kelly, so you can't approach them.
I know, but going back to what we were just talking about, it's funny how those
they would never do that.
How those things seem to work out.
Yeah, I mean, but when you look at, you know, next season for Southern Miss, you know, you're losing a lot of power in your lineup. You're losing your Russo, your Urban, your Higdon, you know, more than likely now Gillespie. So you're losing about I mean, I can't do quick math, but that's probably about 60 of your 85 or whatever home runs.
But you know what? And we've talked about this before, Dima, and my approach to building a team, and there is no right or wrong way. I would much rather have guys that hit for average. I know that home runs are sexy. I get that. Home runs sell tickets. But if I'm coaching bases, I can't move. The power hitters usually will lead the teams in strikeouts, too. I can't move people.
Right.
On strikeouts. I want somebody, even if they get out, put the ball in play so that we can advance runners. And the Eagles this past season weren't exactly the light in the world on fire as far as stolen bases go. So the only way they were going to get to move is to put the ball in play. So I'm fine. I am fine with less power.
All I'm saying is they had to go out and get sticks, and it looks like so far.
You believe that's what they've done.
Yes. I think so far you're happy with what it is. At this juncture, it would be really nice to add one more infielder, and then I think your class is done.
But if you're going to add sticks, I like the fact they're adding guys that bat for average, not necessarily for home runs.
All right, we have one Golden Eagle now playing officially for the Los Angeles Dodgers. We talked about that. That's pretty cool. We've got five more who are right there at the brink. AAA trying to knock the door down. We'll talk a little bit about that. Also, we've got a new member of the M Club Hall of Fame going to join us, Kelly. Who's that?
Jeff Posey, former football great, NFL star, who's now back in the Hattiesburg area. Jeff's going to join us in the studio.
He didn't play for the Bengals, did he?
He didn't have, well.
No, he played for real NFL.
You can't win them all, Bob.
Yeah, I'm sure he was pretty happy he didn't win that one.
As far as the Bengals, we'll be glad just to win a couple.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, we're glad you are. Eagle Tire West sponsors this portion of our program every day. They're on Highway 98 West. That's where you'll find Matt Warren and the guys. They sell premium Goodyear tire products, other major brands, of course. They really get any tire you want. Full service for your car, your truck. I've experienced it. They do a great job. Big Southern Miss supporters as well. Eagle Tire, Eagle Tire West, and we thank them very much for all they do.
Now, Bob, I know we're going to talk baseball, some of the guys that are still in the system, but Jeff Posey just walked in. Does he not look like he could still play?
He doesn't look anything like you or I.
and we hope that he never will. And knowing him, he probably won't.
I don't think so. We'll look forward to that conversation.
And I'll be interested to hear what he has to say, too, about not getting to play for the Bengals, because I'm sure he was devastated.
I'm sure he was relieved.
Relieved?
Would you not be relieved? All right. Kelly so crudely interrupted me, Dima. Have you noticed that? I'm trying to take care of business here, Kelly.
We got a star in the studio here with us.
Okay, you want to be able to pay for this show?
Okay.
All right. MCS Home Center, home repair, home remodeling, home construction, everything you need for your next project. Home Lawn or Garden, MCS Home Center in Bellevue, they have peepers. Although Kelly sat on his peepers and broke them.
I did. So I guess there must be a weight limit on them, because I do weigh 190.
Okay.
What do you mean, okay? I meant kilograms. Oh. I didn't mean
Jeff, do you see anything here that reminds you of 190 pounds over here, Kelly Sanders?
My right leg, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. Who did you play for, Jeff?
The Bills.
I played for six different teams. Yeah. 49ers, Carolina, Jacksonville, the Texans, Buffalo, and Washington.
Hail to... Were they the Redskins when you played there?
They were.
Okay. Yeah. They still are, aren't they, Jeff?
From my understanding, I think they're going back.
That would be wonderful news. We'll get Jeff Posey in here in just a few minutes, and we appreciate him coming. Back to baseball, though, quickly. We talked about Chuck Eat Robinson. What a great thing that is. But, man, we've got five guys, gentlemen, that are right on the verge. Dustin Dickerson playing AAA for the Royals organization in Omaha. Matthew Etzel, AAA for Miami. He's in Jacksonville. Nick Sandlin, AAA for Detroit. I'm sorry. He's in Toledo. Reed Trimmel, AAA for Baltimore. I think they have the coolest uniforms, by the way. Not that matters. He's in Norfolk. And Matt Walter, AAA for St. Paul in Minnesota. How good are you, Kelly, if you're playing AAA baseball? You're pretty good, aren't you?
Yes. Yeah, you're pretty good. And like I said, the teams that they're with, it's a good thing none of them are with the Dodgers because they wouldn't be going.
It's better to be. Is it not better to be like Dustin Dickerson playing AAA for Kansas City?
Yes.
Than it might be for Chucky Robinson, who was playing AAA for LA.
For a while, he was playing AAA for the Dodgers. Yes, it's always better to play. And people always go, "Oh man, I hate that he got drafted by someone." No, you should celebrate the fact that they got drafted by someone because there'll be more of an opportunity there. Mm-hmm. If you're Kansas City rather than the Dodgers, who will just go out and buy the biggest free agent available that already has a proven track record at that level.
Those five, Dima, who's in the best situation? Dickerson with Kansas City, Etzel with Miami, Sandlin with Detroit, Trimmel with Baltimore, Walner with Minnesota.
I mean, you got to think of Walner being probably in the best situation just because he's been called up to the big leagues several times. You know, as far as players that I want to see get called up would be a guy like Dustin Dickerson. You know, he's made his way all the way up to AAA, and he's just so close. And that would be his debut, right, in the majors if he were to get called up. And I think that'd be cool. Of course, when we had your friend on a couple of weeks ago, he was very high on Matthew Etzel, you know, getting himself called up. Mm-hmm. So it's really incredible to see all those players in AAA, and of course Chucky Robinson starting for the Dodgers a couple of nights ago. So yeah, I mean it's cool to see, and obviously just goes into how great this program is.
Remember when we talked about the amateur draft, how important the major league teams look at children of major league players? Okay, well there you go. Dickerson is the son of a big league player. Seth Smith is son of a major league player. Those guys always seem to get drafted higher up because they know the baseball acumen that they grew up around.
Dustin's father is a real respected coach in Major League Baseball, is he not?
That doesn't hurt. It certainly doesn't hurt.
I think of the Phillies, if I'm not mistaken.
But, you know, I think when we look back at all the years that we've done this show, one player that we really haven't talked a lot about because his stay was kind of brief was Reed Trimble.
Yeah. And here, you know, we've had him on the show, actually. He's a great guy, Christian guy, really good guy. He's right on the verge with the Orioles. And, you know, he's been there for a while, up at AAA for a while.
Because he was going to go to Pearl River Community College one time, which, of course, Pearl River's making a name for itself, obviously, in baseball. But then all of a sudden got the call with Southern Miss, wasn't there very long, boom, got drafted. Mm-hmm. I mean, his ascension was probably faster than any others that I remember.
And I'm going to tell you what, years ago when Southern Miss and Ole Miss had that classic regional up in Oxford, he put on a show that you just rarely see. I mean, he was just incredible, was he not?
Yeah, I mean, that probably upped his draft stock incredibly, and obviously that caused him to get drafted that year. And, yeah, really special player. I really, really wish if there was one player that you could have just gotten back one more year, if he was on that 2022 squad with all that pitching, oh, man.
But you know how we always –
he played one year here.
We always kind of joke about how long the basketball season is, even with Coach Mandelbaum yesterday. Southern Miss is already practicing basketball for this fall. But the College World Series is about over, okay? And that's it then for college baseball. To show you how long the major league season is.
Oh, they don't get finished on November.
We haven't even had the All-Star break yet. For Major League Baseball, which usually signifies the halfway point.
Well, okay? To be fair, they do start in April, so they don't start at the same time as
that's
college.
True. But, that's true.
But, yes, it is way too many
But
games.
If you take into account spring training, they start earlier than the colleges.
Is that all a financial thing?
Of course.
Trying to generate money to pay all these massive salaries?
Of course. These pro athletes, especially guys in the NFL, are way over...
You know, I'd be careful insulting that man, Kelly. I think he could do some damage.
Well, no, I was going to say that Jeff Posey was worth every penny he was ever paid. But most of those guys in the NFL
As Jeff will tell us when he comes on the show, of course, the highlight had to be to put on that maroon helmet with that Indian logo on the side.
The Redskins, of course. Back when their checks were clearing?
Correct. Yes. I'll have to tell him the story I shared with Kelly. I'll share this real quickly. My daughter and wife and I, we used to make a game every year, go to Washington to watch the Redskins. So the last year that we went, I'm on the phone with my daughter, and I'm going, and Jeff will appreciate this, I'm going down the schedule with her. And I go, honey, the Patriots, we could watch Tom Brady play. And she said, Dad, I'm not spending all that money to go to Washington to watch Tom Brady throw touchdown passes up and down the field all day. I want to go when they play the Jets. We'll win that game.
And?
Jets 38, Redskins 7.
I'm really surprised that Angela didn't want to go just to watch Tom Brady, period. You know,
she didn't really want to go, period. She just kind of went along because we were badgering her.
By the way, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
To you and Angela. Was that how many? 52?
52 years yesterday.
And both Southern Miss people?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. My whole family. My daughter-in-law, my son-in-law, my son, my daughter. All Southern Miss graduates. So, yeah, it's a black and gold family. There ain't no doubt about that.
Well, many more.
Well, thank you. And best of luck to these guys. What are the chances of these guys being on the big show before the end of the year, you guys think?
Well, the Tigers, for Sandlin, a lot of the guys that were on their injured list for pitching, including Justin Verlander and Tarek Skubal, who a lot of people think the Tigers will trade before the deadline to get some capital there. So a lot of those pitchers are now, Casey Mize was another one, that they're all healthy now. So it doesn't look like Sandlin necessarily is going to get a call up. But everything, Bob, you know, and we've talked about this, injuries. It's all guys, how many injuries you're going to have to take care of and fill those spots. And they would say, too, I don't want any of my teammates to get hurt. But they
want their chance.
Of course.
And I think
it's much better to be in AAA than AA. You know?
Oh, for sure. And you're making a lot more money. Does a guy make a pretty good living playing AAA baseball?
In Mississippi, it's a good living, but by baseball standards, it's not. Now, once you make that jump to the big leagues, even if you're sent back down, you know, Matt Wallner now can go to Chick-fil-A every day.
He told us that.
Yeah.
He told us that was the greatest thing about having money. He could eat Chick-fil-A as many times as he wanted to. My guess, he's moved past that by now.
Perhaps. Yeah.
Right. But we think he's probably got the best shot, right? Because he's up and down all the time with the Twins.
And our
buddy Jack Duggan would know that answer, Mr.
Yeah,
he's
sure.
A big Twins
the biggest
guy.
Problem that Wallner has always had with the Twins is his inconsistency. I mean, he either hits a home run or he strikes out.
But that's kind of traditional with a lot of players.
Yeah, but they want you to be able to
Let
put it in play.
Let me test your trivia knowledge here. So I'm growing up in Washington, D.C., and my dad took me to a lot of Washington Senator baseball games. And they had a very famous guy like that, big guy. He either hit a home run.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
Senators, or he struck out. Who am I talking about?
Frank Howard.
Yeah, you're amazing, Kevin. You have more useless information in your brain than any 20 people I've ever met.
You know, there's so many women have told me that.
You're right, Frank Howard.
You know, the congressional baseball game was the other night at the Nationals ballpark. Bernie Sanders hit a ground ball to third base. The third baseman couldn't find it. It took him probably 20, 30 seconds to even find the ball. He underhands it to first, and Bernie Sanders is about four steps out of the batter's box.
Well, and interestingly, the team that Bernie Sanders was on, they scored 8 runs, but Bernie forced his team to give 4 to the other team.
The other team, yeah. Who's shocked that the Democrats lose that game every year? I'm not.
We're staying away from politics.
We'll
right?
be right back.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back, everybody. DBAT sponsors this segment of the program. They're on Hardy Street, DBAT, baseball, softball training. Kelly, will you reach down there and get Luke Reynolds on the show, please? We've been talking about
it. I will call Luke. I'll see to
DBAT, it. DBAT, that's who Luke Reynolds manages.
Yes.
That, and it is a great facility for adult and kids sports training. beautiful facility, actually, located on Hardy Street. And again, Luke Reynolds is the GM.
And they've been with us a while.
Long time, and we're grateful to them for that. Forest Health Center, Forest Healthcare, I should say. Forest Healthcare reminds you that it's important to keep up with the most important player on any team, and that's you. Be sure you get an annual physical. Be sure your health is as good as it can be. Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home. ForestHealth.org. We're delighted to have one of the newest members of the M Club Hall of Fame in the studio. And looking at this gentleman, he's certainly in good health.
Was never injured in a 10-year NFL career.
Jeff Posey played in the National Football League for 10 years after starring at Southern Miss in 95 and 96, Pearl River in 93 and 94, and well-deserved to be the newest member of the M Club Hall of Fame. Jeff, thanks for coming in, man.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Where were you and when you got the news, and how did that make you feel?
Actually, I was in Orlando. I was in Orlando on a senior trip with my son at Busch Gardens, and when I got the call.
And what was that? What did that mean to you to be put in this Hall of Fame?
You know, it means a lot. You know, being a Southern Miss alumni and just over the years of seeing people inducted and people you have played with and then all the legends from before you, to be added to that, man, I was just so excited, super excited.
Mm-hmm. And originally from graduated Bassfield High School, back when it was Bassfield. It's now part of Jeff Davis County High School. But, man, what was it about Bassfield that cranked out the players? And you played with Booth, right, Eric Booth?
That's correct.
At Bassfield. That community, man, just cranks out football talent.
It does. We always joke about it's the water. But you got a lot of hardworking kids, you know, with the football program, and of course with great coaches. I played for Howard Willoughby and Coach Hyde that passed a couple months back. They just taught excellent technique, even at a young age. A young group of players just bought into it, and you know, and we love playing Bassfield football.
But I mean, and I think it's every kid's dream to play in the league, in the National Football League. At what point in your collegiate career, Jeff, did you realize this may be happening? I think I'm going to get to play in the National Football League.
That's a funny question. I wasn't one of those kids that had the dream of going to play in the NFL.
Really?
When I first was introduced to football, I was actually in the band first because my brother played the drums at church, and I was fascinated with that. But all my friends, when you had to make that choice, were you going to go to football or were you going to do band, all my friends was playing football. And so that what led me to go into football. And now here I am.
How far into, once you started playing, though, to kind of follow up on Kelly's question, did you realize you were better than most of the guys around you?
I have to say my senior year in high school, I started getting a lot of recognition. Mississippi State started contacting me. Colleges started contacting me. I've always been competitive. My daddy taught me anything that you do, give it your all. And coming from a background from the form and just being able to use leverage, and I saw that this can be put to football, and I was beating guys one-on-one, making sacks, making tackles for a loss, and then when the school started calling, then I saw, oh, okay, I must be pretty good.
Mm-hmm. And then I always ask this question because I find this so fascinating. The first day or night that you took the field, you're wearing an NFL uniform, you're in an NFL football game. What was going on in your mind?
How can I describe it? I mean, here you are in the state of San Francisco, 80,000 maybe fans, and you walking out on the field. And first of all, I had to get over the shock of playing beside Jerry Rice and Steve Young. And at that time, on that team, you had a lot of legends on that team. And so, but to express it, it's nothing like it. You know, you walk out there, and then, like you said, every kid's dream of playing in the National Football League, and now you are here. So you're trying to figure out, is this real? Is this happening? And so you have to make your mind up quick because you got to realize that, okay, I'm working.
But it's also the first time, and I mean this with all due respect, it's the first time that you come into significant money. Any guy, other than unless you're playing college football now for Ohio State, where you'd have to take a pay cut to go to the NFL. but it's the first time. So you had to surround yourself with people that you really trusted. How did you manage that transition?
You know what? I think the best thing happened with me. I wasn't drafted, so I was a free agent, and so my first contract was a practice squad. I was on a practice squad, so my salary was limited. It wasn't one of those great salaries that you see now. But even though, still come from Mississippi, I think I made $80,000 a year, and so that was very significant. And you know, that taught me, okay, to save, because I didn't save like I should have. But with that first year of receiving that kind of money, it disciplined me enough and taught me, okay, when I did go on years later to sign a 4-year deal with the Buffalo Bills, it taught me how to manage and what I needed to do, because easy come can easy go.
And the NFLPA, the NFL Players Association, actually has classes for players too, prior to training camps opening up, about financial responsibility, about things that that you will be encountered because they have this newfound wealth, quite frankly. And that's something that the league continues to stress with incoming players.
You're exactly right. You know, when I came into the league, they were just kind of starting that program, but now I understand that program is in place. And of course, you do have a choice to use it or not. And I one thing about it, you know, as a young man, 21 years of age, receiving a lot of money, now you're receiving that type of money in college now. Yeah. But yeah, I'm glad there are programs like that, and the NFL has people in place to help you to hold on to your money.
Very rare that a free agent player would have a 10-year NFL career. What was your secret?
I give all glory to God, man. I'm telling you, I'm a faith guy, and I give all glory to God. Not only that, I played 10 years with no injuries and no surgery. My dad used to anoint my body with oil before every training camp, and do all glory to him, man. All glory to God.
But you're still that competitive. One of the things that you're seeing in the NFL now too, Jeff, is players making the conscious decision to retire at what most people would consider to be an early age. A lot of guys 29, 30 years old, when, you know, back in the day, there were guys playing until they were 40, 45 years old, and then they can't walk later on because of the toll that it takes on your body. Do you see that trend continuing of players retiring at an early age, because the money they're making really is generational wealth usually?
Yeah, and I believe you're seeing guys retiring early because they want to be able to enjoy it. You know, let's just say you don't receive your NFL retirement until you're 55, and hopefully you'll be healthy enough to enjoy it, and where you don't have to use your retirement to keep you healthy.
Right.
And so that's one reason why I try to stay fit, try to stay in shape, because once I do receive my pension, whenever I do decide to take it out, I want to be able to have fun and enjoy life and not having to use it for health reasons.
But whatever he's doing is working.
Yeah, I was going to say, I looked at his arms and I said, if he was in the band, he played the tuba. You know, just not many guys could carry the tuba. But you're the type of competitive guy, you're always going to be doing something.
Yes. Yeah, I'm just my nature, very competitive. You know, that's why I'm in sales now. I work for Pine Belt Chevrolet, and I love competing. I love, and I, not only competing, I also love helping customers to put a puzzle together. You know, people come on the lot looking to buy that kid that first car or whatever life change they have made for them to receive a car. So I like that. So it's the best of both worlds. And then also you got other great salesmen there as well. So competing, that it's fun.
What I take though is that your faith is what you credit with this wonderful career that you've had.
I do. I want to credit my wife too, also with being involved in the Hall of Fame. She's the one that kept calling and requesting and and contacting the committee on that too. Cause the reason I'm in the Hall of Fame is because my wife was diligently working to get
me. And you were a great player, yeah. Jeff Posey. Let's not forget about that. You were a great football player. You don't play 10 years in the NFL unless you're a great football player.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. And some really good teams, and then the Redskins.
Yeah, real quick, all the teams that you played for.
Well, I started out with the 49ers, played with them 4 years. After the 49ers, I played with Carolina and Jacksonville in the same year that was doing 9/11. And after that, I played with the Houston Texans in 2002. And I played with the Buffalo Bills 3 years. And then I retired with the Washington Redskins in 2006.
Which was the pinnacle of your career, undoubtedly, right?
Yeah, I agree with you.
The great Jeff Posey, everybody. Congratulations, man. Well deserved. We're proud to have you, a Golden Eagle.
Thank
Jeff
you.
Posey, everybody, on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right. Now, don't forget, if you've got gold or jewelry laying around your house, old coins, old jewelry that maybe you don't wear, gold or silver, take it to Jewel Masters on Highway 98 West. Marty Vick's been buying gold and silver, I guess, since he started in business many, many years ago. There are a lot of Johnny-come-latelys, but there's only one Jewel Masters. That's where it'll always be very confidential. You'll get top dollar. You'll be in and out very, very quickly. Marty Vick Jewel Masters for all your gold and silver. I want to thank Mo Bay Beignet Company and Genesis of Hattiesburg for their sponsorship of our program each and every day. We couldn't do it without great businesses like that, and we hope that you'll do business with these great local folks. And don't forget about our podcast. You can hear it every day on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube. Alexa, Siri will play the Super Talk Eagle Hour for you. Jeff Posey stays in the studio with us, a 10-year NFL veteran, newest member of the M Club Hall of Fame. And fire away, Dima.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, you know, I'm sure you keep up with football still. You know, obviously your last season was 2007 in the
2006.
NFL? 2006. How much has this sport changed? I mean, in just 20 years? Because a lot of people tell me, like, man, you know, 90s, you know, all these things was so much different back then. But my contention has always been it's also changed a lot in just 10 years and maybe even just 15 years.
Yeah, it has. With the tackling alone, I don't think I'll know how to tackle a quarterback now. What I see is legal hits now are banned.
Yeah.
So that's the biggest thing that I see. And of course, with me playing defense, I watch that aspect of the game more, and so I see that is a big change.
Jeff, we're going away from just hitting people. Everything is targeting now. I don't get it. You know, you hit somebody pretty, it's like, oh, that was a great hit.
Yeah.
You're out of the game.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
If you were playing in today's targeting roles and stuff like that, I mean, would you be hesitant to? I mean, how would you play it if that makes sense? Would you be hesitant to, like, how do I even do this?
Yes, I would. Very cautious. Because you do not, you know, you want to obey the rules. You don't want to get fined, and of course, you don't want to cause anyone harm. You know, I know the NFL is a violent game, and really, we're not out there deliberately trying to hurt anyone. So I understand the rules, but some of the rules, I think that they may be a little too stiff. When it comes to the quarterback, and I know to protect the quarterback and also even some of the running backs. I saw one play, a running back was making a move and a tackler, the linebacker, tackled a guy, looked like a textbook form tackle, mm-hmm. and they penalized the guy and said that, hey, he hit him illegally. So
yeah.
That's why I meant when I said I don't think I would know how to tackle a guy.
Sure. So do you watch more NFL or college?
I watch more NFL.
Okay.
Yes, yeah. I do. You know, I'm really a follower of coaches, coaches I have played for, because the era that I played in, Tom Brady was like one of the last guys that was still playing the game. And so, but coaches like Vic Fangio, which was the defensive coordinator for the Eagles. And so I watched him, I watched their scheme, because I say, hey, I played in that scheme when I was with the Texans.
Right.
Do you have a favorite team?
I do not.
No?
You know, many people ask me that, especially have played with six different teams. But I do not have a favorite team. I just like to watch good football.
Well, I have to ask you this. I know you did play a year for Joe Gibbs, who's clearly an iconic coach of all time.
Yes.
What was he like?
Just what he produces on TV. Good Christian guy. Uh-huh. And when I was with that team, that's one thing that was first noticeable, that, hey, his faith, and then the Christian.
He's very outward about his faith.
He's very outward about it. And then with the players that were part of that team, that you can tell that they had someone that was promoting that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jason Campbell, a teammate of yours I talked to recently, told me that he found Coach Gibbs a true leader. He had never been around a man that he felt was more of a leader than Joe Gibbs. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that. Unfortunately, I only got the chance to play 1 year under Coach Gibbs when I left the Buffalo Bills and went to Washington, but that time spent, you can tell that, okay, this is a Christian team. So, yes.
Mm-hmm. He's a good man. Isn't
he is.
Yeah.
I understand now. I think he's involved in NASCAR.
And just winning championships in NASCAR. Yeah. He just wins at everything he puts his hands on, right?
Maybe he had the favor of God on his life.
Well, you know, I'm not going to sit here and argue with that. You believe that's who protected you from injury for 10 years, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
So what do you do besides sell cars?
You know what?
Play golf or
– You know, I have five kids, and I have four boys and a daughter, and a beautiful wife. So I spend a lot of my time just doing family things. I got one just graduated from Alabama, and he's at UMMC going to school to be a doctor.
Wow.
He just had some material published, and then I got another one at Southern, and another one just graduated from high school. He's at Southern, and then I got two left. Got one that's a junior in high school, and then I got a baby girl, which is an eighth grader.
Jeff Posey, you're an outstanding man. There's little question about that. And it's well-deserved that you're in the Southern Miss Hall of Fame. Thanks for coming here, man.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right, the great Jeff Posey on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Pleasure to meet you, my man. Pleasure to meet you. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Thank you, as always, for listening. Until next time, Southern Miss to the top.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.